listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. This is one of our twice weekly special editions. I think we're in the fourth or fifth, maybe sixth week now, as we try to work with small business in the region to help them figure out how to get through what I'm calling, and perhaps others as well, the COVID economy, this thing that's set upon us. My own business has struggled. Just last night, I had an email saying that all June work that I was hoping to do has now been pushed back to later in the year, which means I ain't got nothing to do for a while to go, and other than be here on this radio show and trying to spread information and news to people like yourselves. Folks, one of the things that you're going to see from What's Working with Cam Marston is a big new social media push. And I know, at least if it reflects my own behavior, there are a lot of people staring into the vacuum of their social media these days. And that's where we're putting a lot of our content going forward. I want you to keep an eye out for What's Working with Cam Marston on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. I've got a couple of allies in this effort who are helping me load this content up and are making an investment in this to see exactly what it does for us. I've spoken to so many people, and I've said this so many times, spoken to so many people who can attest for a bump in their business due to an investment in social media, and Instagram seems to be the one. And I want to thank you. I want to thank those that are lending a hand to this effort of mine. Last night, 6 p.m. show, we had August House Restaurant on and Smack Shack's food truck, and they both offered coupons, and I want to spread that around. If you are interested in a 20% off coupon for any of the food offered at August House or at Smack Shack's food truck, I'm going to give you this text number, and I'll give it again at the end of the show. Text What's Working to 44222. Again, What's Working to 44222. You'll get this week's notes, and you'll also get a good bit of information that's being provided to us by Regions Bank, who will be our first guest when we come back from this break. I'll have Nikki Morgan and James Taylor on. They're going to tell us in detail about the CARES Act and specifically the alternatives available through retirement plan. You've got a SEP, you've got a 401k, you got an IRA, a Roth IRA, whatever these things are. There are new rules that have been implemented that allow you to access that money. And as much as I want to know what those rules are and what any sort of penalties are or penalties that have been removed, this matters to all of us, I want to see, and I suspect they're going to be hesitant to do so just to the way their compliance offices works, I want to see if there's a way to think through whether this is a good idea or not for someone like you or me. I know I have been saving in a 401k since, I don't know, 20-some-odd years now, and I'd hate to see that balance go away, other than what the stock market's already done to it. But is there a way to think through whether this is a good idea or not? And I'm going to push them on that, and hopefully they'll help after we get through the bones of these programs and what is now being offered. Following the region segment with Nikki and James, I got Elizabeth Lombardo. I was introduced to her last week. She's a psychologist. She's in Chicago, believe it or not, and this is where she operates out of, and I'm going to read you her bio real quick, a very short bit of it. She's helped numerous high-profile individuals achieve success and is considered Shaquille O'Neal's head coach for happiness. His head coach for happiness. Interviews in outlets such as Today, Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, Forbes, and Success Magazine. And what I've specifically asked her for are a couple of things. And what she's identified, I gave her my request, and she came back and said, Cam, what you're talking about is called the red zone, high levels of stress where our rational thinking is hijacked. She's going to talk to us about this and how to overcome it. Second, another one called learned helplessness, the concept that there's nothing I can do. And goodness knows, folks, I feel that way, particularly after getting that email last night that all June work has been canceled. I felt helpless. There's nothing I can do, as well as what she calls the three by five, three times a day to take 5 minutes to de-stress. I'm excited to meet her. I know from my interactions with her, a very dynamic personality. And then don't forget about 152. We're going to wrap up with the best ideas of the show today. I've got a list sheet of paper here, and I jot them down as the show goes along. And I'm very excited to get my friend Brad Israel on about 153. Brad's got a military background. He was a Green Beret, and I've seen and read some of his very inspirational stuff. We'll be excited to get him on. We'll be back with our guests from Regions. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. go. We're back. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. And through this relationship with Regions, I'm able to get some really highly qualified talent from Regions on the phone to talk about some of the different offerings that our federal government has made. On the line with me right now, Nikki Morgan. Nikki is a relationship consultant, and James Taylor, an ERISA advisory manager with Regions. Nikki, James, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I appreciate your willingness to come on and talk about this stuff. And we've talked about the CARES Act on this show before, only focusing on the PPP program. I'm aware that there is availability now, or has been perhaps, on what they're calling hardship withdrawals from retirement accounts. And I'd love it if you would all would give me an overview of what those are, and then we can get specifically into them and how they may apply to our listeners. Nikki?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay.
Nikki?
Yeah. So one thing that the CARES Act is now permitting are hardship withdrawals for states that have been declared a federal disaster area, which is pretty much all states. So kind of the overview of the hardship withdrawals are the Act now waives the 10% early distribution penalty for coronavirus-related distributions, now up to $100,000 from their retirement plan. Participants had the ability to repay the distributions back to their plan within 3 years, and they also may include it in income for tax purposes ratably over 3 years if they're not repaid in that same year. So what's considered a coronavirus-related distribution? A lot of people have been asking that question to see if they qualify. So any distribution that's taken within this 2020 plan year, if they've been diagnosed with the disease, and that has to be done by a test approved by the Center of Disease Control, if their spouse or dependents have also been diagnosed, if they've experienced adverse financial consequences from being quarantined, and that also considers if they've been furloughed or laid off or having work hours reduced due to the coronavirus, being unable to work due to lack of child care. Most people have been out as well because all the children are out from schools. And then as well as the closing or reduced hours of a business owned or operated by the individual due to such virus or disease. So a lot of factors involved in that, but if they meet some of those factors, then they would have the ability to take a hardship distribution from their plan, as I stated, up to $100,000.
So let's imagine that I'm an individual working for an organization that has offered me a 401k plan, and I've been there long enough to have built a balance up in there. What is my step if I determine that this is something that I want to do? First, does the company have to offer it? Can the company who is the sponsor of the 401k plan say, yeah, we know it's available, but we're not going to let our people touch it? Is this mandatory that people can, that each company sponsor must allow this to the employees?
So, I don't know, James, if you want to step in on this, but.
Sure. Glad to. It is not mandatory. Plans have to make an election to actually adopt or a negative election to opt out, depending on their record keeping provider, but they certainly do not have to make this option available to their plan participants, and some do, some don't. So it really is a balance between what those participants need versus disrupting their retirement plan savings, and so employers are having to balance that, and that can be a tough decision, as you may imagine.
So imagine that I'm the employer, I'm the plan sponsor. We've talked about the reduction of penalties to the employee who may want to access their retirement funds. Is there any sort of penalty to the employer, the plan sponsor, that they need to know about as they're considering this?
There is not. There's no penalty for providing it. So the only thing that it may require is an eventual plan amendment, and those plan amendments are generally not do at this time, so they may have the cost of amending their plan at a later date to add these provisions back in under the law. But other than that, there is not a penalty that would be pertinent to plan sponsors for providing or not providing these withdrawal options.
So if I'm an employee and have access to my plan, I then go to my plan sponsor at my employer, the HR person, whomever it may be, and say, I know that we now have made these funds available to people like me. I would like to access mine under these new hardship rules. Is that the process?
Yes. I mean, they can go to their plan sponsor. Yeah. I mean, they can go to their plan sponsor, or most know that they have the ability that they can go request it directly online through whomever their record keeper provider is. So they can go directly through the record keeper. They have this information set up, and they will work with them to get their distributions processed.
So perhaps I'm getting a little bit into the weeds with some of these questions. They're kind of particular, but we've discussed the 401k, and I'm not done with that idea right now, because there are a lot of people out there that have 401k. There are a lot of people also that have an IRA. Are the rules different in an IRA in this environment?
They are. That's a great question. So IRAs do not provide for these type of distributions at this time. There is provision under the CARES Act that impacts both IRAs and 401k plans, and that's the waiver of the required minimum distribution requirement for the 2020 year. And so IRAs have also been provided relief for that minimum distribution requirement. So they have been impacted by the CARES Act to some extent as well, but not with regard to those distribution options or plan loan options.
So the required, the RMDs, the required minimum distributions for IRAs have been waived for the year 2020 for those that are, what is the age, 67, 65 and older?
That's right. So the age has been 70.5 the
okay.
year that you turn 70 and a half, but it is now 72 for future years based on the SECURE Act, which was also recently passed prior to the crisis.
So you, so for those of you, let's say you're 35 years old out there, or 45 years old out there, once you turn 72 now, you have to begin taking money out of these retirement savings accounts. Frankly, and if I understand it, Nikki and James, I want you to confirm this, it's so the government can tax you on it and get their share.
That's absolutely right. Part of it. There's a public policy around the taxability and the tax-deferred status. And so, again, they've made that judgment that they would like that taxation to begin at that age. It was increased to 72 because Americans are living and working longer.
Yeah.
And so we may see increases again in the future in that age.
So these rules, these new rules, folks, if this applies to you, first, if you're an employee in an organization, you may have access to your 401k funds to help you get through this time. The penalties have been waived. There is a time that you have to pay it back. Now, Nikki and James, this is a curveball, and this just occurred to me. I don't know if you can answer this. Let's assume that I am one of these employees, and I've gone to my, let's assume it's the HR person. The HR person in my organization said, I want access to these funds that you've now made available. And they say, okay. And I take them, and then I get furloughed or I get laid off. What happens?
Sure. Well, I'm glad to take that. So, you know, once you take the funds, the difference between a furlough and being laid off permanently are a little different. Furlough is a reduction in hours,
yep.
with the intent to come back to work. Whereas if you're laid off without the ability to come back to work, again, you may well not be able to pay that amount back. And so basically your account balance, if you take a distribution at termination, will not include those amounts that you already withdrew under this rule. So if you have a $200,000 account balance and you withdraw $100,000 today and unfortunately are unemployed permanently in the future, then your account balance would be $100,000 because you had not yet paid that amount back under the three-year rule.
And do you owe that $100,000 back?
You don't. I mean, again, it's basically a benefit for you to be able to pay it back and then not have to recognize it for income for 3 years, which is a big deal. And so then if you don't, at the end of that three-year period, you'll recognize it on your 1040 on your tax return.
Got it. Wow. Okay. So no one's going to let that money vaporize and go unaccounted for, are they?
No, sir.
That's
sir.
So I'm curious the thinking. Now, in this, again, I recognize that you guys have restrictions on what you're allowed to say due to compliance reasons and things of that nature. I've dealt with enough financial services organizations in my other work to know that it's very onerous and you have to be careful what you say, and I want to respect that. But what is the thinking? If I'm listening out there thinking, man, I've been putting money in my 401k, my company has been matching it, I've never really thought too much about it. However, now may be a time that I need to look at it due to many different reasons. What should they think about prior to deciding to go get that money? Because I know most advisors out there, most people in the financial community are going to say that is the last thing you touch because you cannot take a loan out against retirement. That is the last thing you touch and you're pulling your funds out. Help me with the process of thinking through this if I'm somebody with a 401k and am considering this right now.
Sure. Well, I think that's a great question. And so, you know, again, I think you made a great point. These participants always want to make sure they discuss this with their tax advisors because there's tax consequences and there's obviously consequences on your future retirement savings. But really, what you're looking at in this circumstance is, are they experiencing a heavy financial hardship? Okay. And so you're balancing, as a participant, your future retirement savings versus today. Do you have an immediate need that you cannot meet, and then do you need to access these assets? So I think, again, it's a different calculus for everybody. It's something that needs to be considered very carefully, but it will have potential negative consequences on your retirement saving because you're not going to get the future time value of money and other benefits of those items as time moves forward. So that's really the way that folks need to think about it, and they need to discuss with their advisors pretty closely before they take any of these steps. Absolutely.
I'm curious what the most common question the two of you are getting anywhere around the CARES Act, whether it be the retirement content that you and I are talking about right now or the PPP plan. What is the most common question? Because I'm sure someone out there has it right now. Nikki, we'll start with you.
No, I mean, the most common question has been, you know, how much, you know, what are the rules in pertaining to the hardship rules? You know, how much can I take, you know, and just verifying that they, and same thing as James discussed, you know, should I be taking it from my plan or do I need to look at other avenues? So that's really the conversation that we're having, having with our clients and their employees right now, is really understanding the rules and the consequences and circumstances around taking it from a retirement plan.
James, your role is an ERISA advisory manager. Are you getting a different type of question?
You know, that's a good point. I am. I mean, I get a lot of questions that are really technical in nature at this point. And so I should point out that, you know, we're still awaiting Treasury guidance around the CARES Act, in particular with respect to these retirement plan provisions. So while we have a lot of things that we do know and that we discussed today, there are many, many unknowns. And so I am getting a large number of questions that are not clear within the Act and that are having to be pended until the Treasury releases some formal guidance around some of the idiosyncrasies of these rules.
Many of my banker friends have said something along the lines of, it's the darndest thing I've ever seen. They're more interested in getting the money out with less rules on how to repay it or what you'll have to do to account for it. It's absolutely, and gosh knows we've heard this word a lot, unprecedented. Is there anything, what is your, give me a kind of an emotional thought from yourself of what does this look like from your point of view? Have you ever seen anything like it? Is it just the Wild West out there from the bank's point of view? Nikki?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, you know, even as bad as it seems, and we know that we're like, oh my gosh, they've opened all of this up and employees are just going to go out there and pull their money and stuff out, when we go to run our reports and look at this and discuss this with our clients, we don't see the mass exodus out of the plan. So I think maybe after realizing what happened in 2008, they understand the market crashed, but it came back, and they know that they still want to have that money for retirement. So you do see that people are kind of, they're having discussions, but they're putting it on hold and not just going out and pulling this money out because they have the ability to. So that's been really good news, and hoping that they can find other ways to help with their current financial situation.
You, prior to us getting on the air earlier today, sent me a link at Regions Bank, and folks, I'll tell you where to find that link, that I explored prior to coming into the station, and full of content of what's going on out there from the banking and the regulation point of view. I'm confident that you must update it on a regular basis due to the new rules that are given out on a regular basis. And I want to thank you guys for the help and the insight you've given me, because I spent time looking on there personally, as well as the listeners. Folks, if you want to look at that link, let me tell you how to find it. Enter What's Working. This is the text line. I've referenced it a couple times, and we'll do it towards the end of the show. Enter What's Working and text that to 44222. No apostrophes and no spaces. What's Working, 44222. You'll get a number of things, and in there, a link to the page that Regions has set up. Nikki and James, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it.
When we come back, I'll have Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, celebrity psychologist. You're listening to What's Working with Cam Marston, brought to you by Regions. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions, and I'm about to make the absolute top list of the America's most trusted celebrity psychologist. Her career will never be the same after appearing on What's Working with Cam Marston in Mobile, Alabama. She'll look at her background and say the Today Show, Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, Forbes Success Magazine, and Shaquille O'Neal's Head Coach for Happiness. That was all a warm-up for today. Dr. E, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
I am ecstatic to be here. Thank you very much.
You and I were networked together by a mutual friend of mine, and it wasn't until just yesterday, I guess, as I was preparing for today's show, that I realized you were in Chicago. I thought you were in Dallas, but Chicago. How are things in Chicago?
Well, we had snow a couple of times this week already, so spring is not quite sprung here.
That is not something anyone has ever said in Mobile, Alabama, that we've had a couple of snow a couple of times a week. Yeah, it's bearing down on summer here. All the trees are greened out. We still have some bloom from spring, but we are well ahead of you in that regard, and everybody's kind of sighing that it's soon going to be hot here, and you're having snow twice in the week. Well, I want to thank you for your willingness to come on. As you know, my marketplace, or rather the listeners, are generally, we target small business owners, and you've offered me some insights into things that with your psychology degree, you might can help some of my listeners on. And I want to go through them in the list that you sent me. Tell us about the red zone, the dangers of the red zone, and how to overcome it.
Yeah, the dangers of the red zone, and we're not talking football here. We are talking stress red zone. So if you think about stress, something we all have experienced in the past, certainly, and perhaps even more intensely now, it's not an all or nothing. It's on a continuum from zero, no stress at all, to 10, which is the most stressed out you've ever been. Now, when we're at a 7 out of 10 or higher, I call that the red zone. And I call it the red zone because when we're at lower levels of stress, we're able to think rationally. We use our frontal lobe, that beautiful structure that differentiates us from other animals, problem solving, executive functioning, all that great stuff happens. As our stress level increases into the red zone, the 7, 8, 9, 10, we use less of our frontal lobe and more of our limbic system. The limbic system is emotional reasoning, fight or flight. And so it actually hijacks our rational thinking. So if you are at a 7 out of 10 or higher, I always tell my coaching clients, don't let anything out of your mouth, because that's when we say things we later regret. And don't put anything in your mouth, because that's when we consume things we later regret.
So in the limbic system, in a 7 out of 10, when you say consume things, it's when you stress. Are you talking about stress eating, consuming bags
stress
of chips
eating,
and bags of
drinking? I've seen some articles about the amount of alcohol that's being purchased right now. Eating, drinking, all those things, having yet another glass of whatever, quarantine 15 kind of thing. So stress will do that to us. Because even if rationally we think, no, I'm not going to eat that, or no, I'm not going to drink that, when we get into the red zone, sometimes that rational thinking goes out the window.
So if I'm evaluating myself on whether I'm in the red zone or not, what are the indicators? What are the feelings, the emotions that I'm looking for to determine whether I sit on that 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah. So there are three called red flags. And when you experience these red flags, it could mean you're in the red zone. One is high intensity of emotions, just what you said. If you're noticing yourself feeling very angry or worried or fearful, or if your loved ones who are in quarantine with you point out that you're being a lot more irritable, that could be a red flag that you're in the red zone. And in fact, I was on a conference call yesterday, and one of the gentlemen was saying that he didn't realize how stressed he was until his partner, his wife, had said, you know what, you're kind of being a jerk lately. That was his red flag. So the second red flag are physical sensations you don't want. So it could be a headache, tight neck, stomach issues, that kind of thing. Sometimes that can be an indicator of high levels of stress. And then the third red flag are engaging in behaviors you don't want to do. So it could mean, for example, yelling at a loved one. It could mean eating something you don't want. But it could also mean avoiding what you know is healthy for you, not doing your exercise, procrastinating on a project maybe at work that it's causing you too much stress, so you say just forget it.
So let me ask you a question. This is very, very relevant to a group of people that I have historically exercised with, and we were all chatting the other day, and all of us are consumption, and you could put that to mean everything, of stuff has increased since this quarantine effective environment has set in. But none of us have gained any weight, and we all were standing on the, not together, but all kind of said, you know, I stood on the scale the other day, and I've had dessert four nights this week, and my alcohol consumption is up, and I sat down and opened up a bag of chips, and a couple of minutes later it was empty. Is this could this all be stress related, the fact that there's been no weight put on? What could your explanation be?
Well, I think I'd be careful about who you say that to, because there may be people who would literally like to kill you for that. But I will respond to your question. So if you think about it, stress actually, for some people, can increase their metabolism, right? So even though you may be putting more in, stress for you may increase your metabolism, which then causes you to burn off those calories. For many people, it has the opposite effect, and stress messes with their metabolism. Stress can also, for others, not you, lay down fat cells, especially in the abdominal region where we probably least want it. Every body is different.
Yeah, that must be it. Now, I want to move on, because there's a couple more, and I'm particularly interested in the second one. Learned helplessness, the concept that there's nothing that I can do.
Yeah, so a lot of people are experiencing learned helplessness right now, where they feel like, you know what, I can't leave, the economy's tanking, there's nothing I can do about this. I call it cable guy syndrome. So if you've ever moved and had to schedule the cable guy to come, you know, to install your internet and cable, and he's supposed to be there from 9 to 12, and it's 12, it's 1, it's 2, he's not showing up, you're calling, you're texting, you can't find him anywhere, and it feels very frustrating.
Yeah.
When we're in a place of learned helplessness, it actually can induce, research shows it can induce a state of depression, because it gets us to a place of there's nothing I can do. And what we always want to remember is there are two strategies to coping with any situation. One is the problem focus. What can you do about this problem? So when it comes to businesses, I'm sure the business owners out there are already figuring out, what can I do? How can I change, with the time? So that would be changing the problem. Sometimes we can't change the problem. We're all stuck at home right now. That's the way it is. So there's another strategy that's often overlooked, and that's emotion-focused coping. How can you change your emotional reaction to it? To maybe one of acceptance, just focusing on the positives of being home, that kind of thing. And what that does is twofold. When we allow ourselves to focus on the emotion focus, not only does it feel better, but it gets us out of the red zone. And again, when we're in the red zone, we don't have that problem-solving capability, because that limbic system has hijacked us. So it actually, when we get out of the red zone then from this problem focus, or from the emotion focus, then we're better able to solve the problem.
Well, is it as simple as saying, from the learned helplessness idea, that I feel my emotions triggering, or whatever the terminology may be, and I say, oh, I know this, and this is not good, so I'll be happy instead? It's just not that easy. There's got to be a process that will move me out of that into a better frame of mind.
Yeah, the way to overcome it is to say, what can I do? What can I do? I'm going to give a personal example, unrelated to COVID, but a personal example. My husband 4 years ago was diagnosed with a terminal illness. The doctor at the Mayo Clinic looked at us and said, take him home to prepare to die. And, as you can imagine, that could induce some learned helplessness. There's nothing we could do. So after being in a state of shock, we then started asking the question, what can we do? What can we do? So this doctor said we can't cure, but we found a whole lot of other doctors who gave us treatments. Now he's declining, and he's, his health is quite poor right now. We're still asking that question, what can we do? We can spend time together. We can be grateful for the time we have. We can have meaningful conversations. So it literally, it takes us from the state of, I can't do anything to, okay, what can I do, whether it's emotionally within me or actually to change the situation itself.
So you, each of us have control over asking that of ourselves. What if one of our business listeners has a partner or a colleague in their workplace who just won't get out of this funk that you're describing? Should they go poke them in the eye or do something else?
Smack them across the face?
Right.
No, you know, so again, when people are in the red zone, which is probably what's happening, this kind of information is really hard to process. Right? It's kind of like gratitude. Gratitude is a wonderful thing. We know that when we experience gratitude, the stress center in our brain reduces activity, and it's a wonderful thing. When we're in the red zone, even though we know there's a lot to be grateful for, we don't want to feel grateful. And same thing, when we're in the red zone and someone says, well, what can you do? It may make you want to poke that person's eye out. So the key there is really to help them get out of the red zone first, and then you can have these conversations.
Yeah, and I've... My instant reaction to someone in this situation, and I can think of business environments that I've been in as well as family environments, is to leave them alone and let them work it out. And that's what I'd want. Leave me alone and let them work it out. However, is that your advice? Leave them alone or engage?
It depends on your relationship with them, and it depends on that individual. So some people do better figuring things out on their own, and some people need a little help. But in those situations, offering things. Hey, I'm gonna go for a run. Do you want to come with me? I can't really do that right now. But kind of offering a couple of ideas, not focus on the business so much, but really focus on helping themselves get out of this high level of stress.
All right. I appreciate it. Let's touch the final one, the 3x5. Three times a day, take 5 minutes to de-stress.
Yeah. So we talked before about the red zone and the importance of being out of the red zone. I call that reactive stress management, i.e. when you notice yourself creeping up, you want to do something healthy and helpful to get yourself out. The 3x5 is more of a proactive. Three times a day, for at least 5 minutes, do something healthy and helpful that will reduce your stress. So it could mean going for a walk, doing some meditation, spending time with a loved one, watching a funny video. Getting a good night's sleep would be a wonderful one. And really schedule them out in your calendar, because we know, we've all heard great advice or thought, oh, that would be really helpful, and we don't actually do it. So I recommend to my coaching clients that you put in your phone a pop-up to remind you it's time to meditate, it's time to do your deep breathing, it's time to go for a walk, so that you are implementing this. And what it does is, instead of letting your stress creep up throughout the day, it can keep it in check.
And is it something you do alone, or is it something you could pair up with a colleague or with a spouse, whatever it may be?
Yeah, no, pairing up is great. Have your family be part of it, absolutely. And it can also be nice to pair up, because then you have an accountability partner, because for some people when that pops up, oh yeah, I'll get to that later. Nope, you got to do it right now. It's 5 minutes.
I find, and I can relate to something you just said, back when I was traveling a lot, I'd jump on these airplanes and leaving my family, and I just got to the airport and often change planes in Atlanta. If you live down in this neck of the woods, you know what I'm talking about. And kind of angry that I'm being taken out of this world that I didn't want to get on, the plane. And I began to think, all right, find somebody in the airport that I can help. And more often than not, and I can relate to this as a parent, it was helping a parent with young children board the plane. Can I help you with your stroller? Can I help you with your child? And a couple of times I've had people hand me their baby. Would you take my baby on the plane? Like, yep, I didn't expect that, but yep. And it changed my attitude. And I've had to remember over and over again, if I can find somebody to help, this funk that I'm in will disappear. Dr. E, you've been very helpful. I appreciate this very much. Thank you so much for your contribution. How can people find you? Real quick.
ElizabethLombardo.com.
I'll put it on the website or the text message line if anybody wants it. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be back after this break. Coming to the conclusion of yet another show, and the texts are starting to come in for the information from Regions as well as for the coupons for the two guests we had on last night, August House and Smack Shack Rib Shack, Smack Shack Barbecue, rather. And that text number, 44222, enter what's working, no apostrophes, no spaces. You'll get that those coupons as well as the information from Regions as well as a number of other things that we've discussed this week. So let me highlight what I've heard on the show thus far today, and we'll get Brad Israel on the line here real quick. First, the CARES Act overview with the retirement plans. The 10% early distribution penalty has been waived for coronavirus-related distributions of up to $100,000. If you have a 401k, your employer must open this up. You can't do it individually. The employer must open it up to everyone. And I think one of the key points that was made in that conversation with both Nikki and James is to talk to your advisor, talk to your HR people, talk to somebody that can give you some good solid advice on whether this is a good idea for you to do or not. You cannot take a loan against retirement. You got to save for it. And is this a good idea? They'll work you through that. Now, Dr. E, the psychologist to the America's most trusted celebrity psychologist, and now she's mine as well, the limbic system. If you're 7 to 10 on the stress scale, and I love this, don't put anything in your mouth and don't say anything. It's during these times that we often make bad decisions or say things that we regret. Talk yourself off the ledge, for a lack of a better term. We then talked about emotional coping. Ask yourself this question: what can I do? The list of things that I can't do is huge, but what can I do to change my environment? And three times per day, at 5 minutes per time, do something healthy and helpful. Pop it up on your phone, schedule something, and an accountability partner isn't a bad idea. Doing it with someone else will make you feel better about your situation. Now, on the line is another one of these people that I like so much and am grateful to have him as a friend. This is Brad Israel. Brad is the Chief Learning Officer at 68 Ventures. And while that sounds impressive, what most of us are just in awe of is post 9/11, Brad got up and joined the Army, and he became a Green Beret, and he spent 2 years in combat in support of Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Brad, thank you so much for your time, for your service. Welcome back to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam. It's great to be here with you, and I appreciate you just being a leading voice for us, especially during these times.
I'm happy to do what I can, and I've got time on my hands, but Brad, what I want to, the tail end of this show, Tuesdays and Thursdays, is to try to set people in a different frame of mind, maybe encourage a current frame of mind of optimism, of moving forward, of one step in front of the other, of there's so much news, conflicting news, bad news, whatever. How can I stay on top of my game? And you seem to have developed messages around this to help us put this all in perspective. I'm going to give you the microphone for a little while and let you give us some perspective, if you would.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And one idea that came to mind was really just a habit that we've created inside our family of companies at 68 Ventures, and that's with every week starting the week with gratitude. And it's something that many, many have been doing for a very long time. But we wanted to really create that habit and that discipline. And so I wanted to share a story today that was one that we put out last week. It happened to be on the 8th birthday of my oldest son, my first son, and I was reflecting on 8 years ago from April 13th, and I was just returning from Afghanistan at the request of my wife for the birth of our first son. We are fortunate where we get the opportunity to come home for the births of our children when so many other soldiers defending our country do not. And I got home actually on the 3rd because of Mama's intuition. She felt like I needed to be here. The baby was about to come, and I got home that night, and I said, all right, let's do this. Let's go to the hospital, and it wasn't that time. But what it was the very next day, my father was going to have quintuple bypass surgery, and he's a physician here in town, works out at the University of South Alabama Physicians Group, and he had kind of played it off and downplayed the quintuple bypass that he was about to undergo, probably because I was in combat. And so we rushed over to Mobile, and we got to be here with him and with my mom and with my brother and sister and see him through on the other end. And then when you fast forward to that, the 13th, it was Friday the 13th, and we're back at Eglin Air Force Base, which is a few miles away from 7th Special Forces Group's compound. And Anna had been in labor all day, and I was getting close to the end of my rope of having to go back because fighting season kicks off in April in Afghanistan, and I was going to be returning with my men. So we were kind of we were eager to have this baby and get to hold him and get some pictures and love him and then get back over to my men. And it kind of threw us for a loop that night. It's something we'll never forget. So his heart rate kept spiking, and Anna's blood pressure was changing to the point where the doctor said if it happened again, she was going to have an emergency C-section, and that's what happened. And we go into the operating room, and this is the only doctor on the floor and a few nurses. And when he's born, he's not breathing.
Brad,
and I remember how...
One minute.
Can you hear me?
1 minute, my man.
Okay. And so it was very surreal. And Anna said, he's not breathing. He's not breathing. The doctor asked the nurses for an update, gave a very grim outlook. And at that moment, Dr. Michael Rossi from 7th Special Forces Group happened to come in, and he was able to resuscitate Lion and get him back and healthy and us to the NICU in Pensacola. And we were able to recover from that. And really, I shared it with our team just because everything that we're going through is compared to what? Where we are right now, where we are in the future. There's always going to be perspective. And through these challenges builds character. It's the adversity that makes us better. And so we've got to be able to look at that with an abundance mindset and with grace and empathy and with just realizing that so many people are fighting a tough battle, and we've got to be able to continue to push forward. And so I just challenge people where they are right now to think about that and express gratitude and create some new habits that you're going to sustain and carry forward coming out of this.
It's amazing the number of people that I've talked to that all agree the sense and the feeling and the expression of gratitude can change your attitude around things. And Brad, I appreciate you sharing that. It's wonderful to hear that a steely-eyed missile man, Green Beret, can be vulnerable like that and share that story. I really appreciate it, Brad. Good luck to you. Keep spreading your messages, my friend.
I will. Thank you, Cam.
Folks, we're coming to an end of another show. We'll have two more for you next week. You're listening to What's Working. This is Cam Marston, What's Working, brought to you by Regions. We'll be back next week.